Welcome to worship at College Park. So blessed to be here today. A few announcements we'll make as we get started. We'd like to find out who is in worship. The way we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests to take this pew pad and write your name down, check the appropriate boxes, and then just give us any contact information you choose. And we do ask, once you're done writing your name in the pew pad, send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. And once it gets done, to that last person, once you're done, send it back to where it got started. And that first person who filled it out this morning, if you could tear out the pages that were used today, that will help our ushers collect those at the end of the service. Many announcements. just draw your attention to a few of them. Upcoming events and opportunities for the week are listed there in your bulletin. I'll highlight a couple of them. Grief Support is going to meet not today, but in September. So just make note of that. There is children's time today. And thank you, sir. There is children's time during the worship service. Let's see, what else? Book Club.
Book Club, the 26th.
The 26th.
Invisible by Jenny Weitrup.
Invisible by Jenny Weitrup. Wow. Okay. That ventriloquist. Okay. Pew pads. Children's time book. Pool party. How many of you like pool parties? Anybody? Anybody? Did you know you don't have to swim to come to a pool party? All right. That you can come this afternoon when it starts pouring down rain to town and country. Okay. Town and country pool. Weather permitting, makeup is next week. We'll do our best to get the word out. If it's thundering and lightning, don't come. We will make up for it next week. Hamburgers and hot dogs, rain notwithstanding. We ask you to bring a side dish or a dessert to share. We'll eat around 5:30. Swimming starts about 4 o'clock. So come and enjoy the water or enjoy watching other people enjoy the water. So it'll be a good afternoon, hopefully, there at Town and Country Pool. Want to let you know, our gym, we're going to have some open times over the next several weeks for you to come and enjoy the gym. From 8:30 to 4:30 each day, Monday through Friday, the gym is open for your use. We do ask if you bring children or teenagers that you provide adult supervision for them. The office staff does not have enough time to supervise your children during the gym. So bring your own supervision and enjoy the gym as much as you like. And then on Tuesday and Thursday evenings from 6 until 9, there will be a volunteer manning the desk at the gym, and it'll just be an open gym. Come shoot basketball. There's soccer balls, volleyballs. You're welcome to just come and walk. Whatever you'd like to do, the gym is now open starting tomorrow morning during the office hours. Speaking of the gym, in 2 weeks, we have a very special event, our building dedication. Since the gym has just been recently completed, we want to take time, both during the times of worship and during the Sunday school hour, to dedicate the building to God. There will be a special time during the Sunday school hour at 9:45 in Smith Hall. For all the church to gather. We'll provide breakfast, and we'll have a time of dedicating the building to God. Also, that is our service of affirmation when we pause to remember all the students and the teachers and the administrators and the parents as they go back to school. We'll be doing that day as well. That's the day when we start our prayer partner ministry over again for the new year. This is when adults match up with children, youth, or college students to be their prayer partner. If you want to keep your prayer partner this year that you've had this past year, let me know that. Send me an email, write me a note, and I'll make sure that gets taken care of. A couple of things we want to recognize here. Hunter, come on, buddy. Many of our college students, our freshmen, are about to head off to school. And we're very proud of them, but one in particular, Hunter Anthony, is going to Gardner Webb University, going to be studying youth discipleship, and he has been awarded a North Carolina Baptist Scholarship, and we are very, very proud of him. As a Baptist church, we believe in our institutions of higher learning, and very excited about what what is in store for Hunter. And we want to say on behalf of the people of College Park, we are very proud of you, and we love you, and we're excited about what you're going to do for this scholarship. So make sure you you say a word of congratulations to Hunter. Also, I need my interns. Where are they at? Come on. It is the final day for our interns. They have been working with us since mid-May. Feels longer than that, doesn't it? Yeah. That's the wrong answer. It was just like yesterday. Yeah, that's the correct answer. They have done a great job with our children's ministry, with David Hodge, and then our youth ministry and Melissa Keltner. This is their last day. After today, they will no longer be getting a paycheck, but I'll still be calling on them to do stuff. But I want them in front of the entire church to know how thankful I really am for the ministry that you provided. You did it with great energy and great passion. Your giftedness is very, very clear. God has touched you, and he did great work through you. And on behalf of the people of College Park, we are thankful for the time that you spent and the difference that you made this summer. There's a little gift. Now sit down. Okay. We're going to recognize them at the end of the service. There'll be a time for you to come and shake their hands. They have done a fabulous job. Fabulous job this summer. It's hard to believe school's almost back. But College Park, you can be proud of your intern ministry once again and the amazing work that they did. And they made their families proud. I want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We are so blessed to have you here today. We want to give something to you. If you are a guest, we have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. Just raise your hand right where you are. They will give you a packet of information. You've already given us your information on the pew pad, and we're thankful for that. So just raise your hand right where you are. And they will recognize you and give you a packet. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our congregation. Also, you'll find a newsletter that's telling you what's going on in the life of our church and a little bit of the story of College Park. So, thank you for being a part of worship this morning. This morning during the 9 o'clock service, I asked the question, what was your favorite memory from camp? When you went to camp, and I wonder what if you had to answer that question. What was your favorite part of camp when you were younger? And we just got back from youth camp just 3 weeks ago, where we talked about Samson, and we did all the camp things, recreation and worship and going to the beach and putting on sunscreen every day. And I'm reminded that through those memories, that God weaves his truth in us. Through the times when we're not expecting it, God shows up. He did at youth camp. And he does every day. And the question that we have to ask is, do we have the eyes to see and the ears to hear when God is speaking directly to us? Having faith is a gift from God to trust him that he is who he says he is and he's going to do what he says he's going to do. That is the essence of faith. Let us prepare for worship.
You are worthy.
you pray with me? Father, there is none like you. We have spent our lives so often searching for things that leave us empty. There is something in our soul that longs for you, longs to find the purpose for our lives. You have spoken to us, and many times we have refused to listen. You have called us, urged us to move, and we have refused. But Father, today, we have a new sense of urgency, a reminder that you are alive and well and you have a purpose for us, and we have to have faith in you to step out, to trust. And when we come into your presence, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt you are here. We feel you within us and around us. Your Holy Spirit guiding us. Speak to us, we pray. May this time of worship be yours and yours alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Invite all the kids, come on down. I saw Drew back there. Yeah, come on, Drew. Okay. There's Reagan. We'll wait for you. How many of you, are y'all going swimming at the pool party? Who's going swimming at the pool party? Anybody? Anybody? Okay. Pool party today at 4 o'clock, Town and Country. You don't know? Okay. Well, I'll eat your hot dog. How about that? I'll eat your hot dog. I've got a question. Thinking about pools, you go swimming, right? Where you go swimming? How do you get in the pool? How do you get in the pool? Do you jump? Do you jump in the pool, or do you go down the ladder? What do you? Okay. Okay. This is gonna be a good story. I can tell. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Yeah. Did he hurt his belly? How do you hurt your belly jumping in the pool? Okay. Well, here's my story. Everybody listening to my story? You know, sometimes when we get in the pool, how do we know that the water is going to hold us up? How do we know? How do we know?
Because we know.
Thank you for that story. Listen to me. We know how to swim. What else? What else? You're in training. Sometimes we lose control during children's time, kind of like right now. Now, yeah. So how do we know that the water is going to hold us up? How do we know? Is that what water does? Yeah. So we trust that the water is going to get us wet and hold us up, and then we can swim in the water. Well, you trust the ladder, don't you, to get you into the pool, because you just go and you step on, like this is a ladder. We step on the steps, and we get in and out of the pool, right? We trust that ladder. We trust that water. So we trust those things. I want you to think about something. There's a big word that we talk a lot about. It's called the word faith. What does faith mean? What do you think faith means? Rebecca? Drew, what would you think faith is? Reagan, what do y'all think? What is faith? Trust? Faith is trusting even when you can't see. Trusting God. That's it. Pastor Raymond is going to talk about that big word today. Faith. That even when we don't understand something, like how does the water keep us up? Or how does the ladder work? We trust the ladder, right? We don't think about it. We get on the ladder and we use it. We trust that ladder. God wants us to have faith that even though we can't always see Him, that He is going to be there for us, that He loves you, that He is right beside you. He wants us to have faith, just like Abraham that we hear about in the Bible. God had him do some things that didn't always make sense, but Abraham trusted who God was and that he was, whatever God says, I'm going to follow that because I have faith. I believe in Him even when I can't see. So when you go to the pool party today and you jump in that water and you say, oh, I'm thankful this water holds me up, or this ladder, I don't always understand it. I want you to remember that the greatest thing is the faith that we have in God. Will you pray with me? God, thank you so much that sometimes we don't always understand how things go or work, but we believe in you. Just like Abraham trusted you to go far away from his home, he trusted you. Help us to do that, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can go back to your seats now. Good job.
Hey, Mom, you heard about the pool party, right?
Yeah, Mom. Go back to your room.
Hey, Mom, I hope you were planning on going. Oh, wonderful. To further our thoughts on faith today, we'll be reading from Genesis 15, verses 1 through 6, if you'd like to follow along in the Pew Bible. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign God, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord and credited it to him as righteousness. Would you please join me in prayer? God, we'll be honest with you. We really long to have proof about everything. We believe in those things that we can see and hear and touch, those things that we can analyze. We are saturated with so many things that we can't evaluate and sum up and decide how we feel. Father, it's so hard to make room for the most important area of our lives sometimes. And if we don't, then truly our lives don't have that meaning or purpose, and we're worthless without making room for that fate that we need to live out our lives. It's just too easy to push it all aside, Lord, and just to live out what we can see and what we already know. It's so harder to look up at the sky, the countless stars, and to place our very ordinary lives in your extraordinary hands and trust you for our future, to trust you to put within us all the dreams and hopes and desires that you have for each of us, all the treasures you have to give us of being used for your glory and living lives of purpose and meaning. Help us to be able to place our hands in the one who loves us more than we can ever imagine, the one who wants only good for us and has wonderful plans. Help us to place our families and our lives in your hands, in faith, not having to see the end result, sometimes not even knowing the next step, but being willing to listen to your voice in the stillness, being willing to seek your will through your word, being willing to take that next step and not be afraid, knowing that you are holding our hand. Thank you so much for calling us to the high calling of living a life of faith through Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior and Lord. There is no excitement like it. There's no fulfillment like it. And then one day when we come to the end of our lives and we stand before you, then we can know that we gave it our all, living for Jesus. In thy name we pray. Amen.
Heavenly Father, I want to take time out to thank you for all the gifts that you have given to us in our life, and want to return a portion of that back to you. We'd also like to take time to ask for protection for the friends and families that are out traveling. I want to ask for special protection for the young men and women that are going to be starting school and traveling away from home for the first time, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Good job, Quinn. Yeah. There is a hymn in our hymn book that we'll get to in just a moment, but I want to give you an opportunity to kind of have a heads up on it that we're going to refer to it. It's hymn 352. So if you want to open your hymn book to 352 and kind of lay it on the seat beside you, we're going to get to our scripture first, but I want you to have that because I'm going to make reference to it in just a moment. But this morning we're going to talk about, as Jeff and Jared have already given us an introduction for, we're going to talk about Father Abraham. And I'm surprised they didn't sing the song. You know, Father Abraham had many sons and many sons. Okay, all right. Well, okay, it's a kid song. All right, I get that. But Father Abraham, we talk about the Abraham's faith. We talk about his kind of faith and what that means. And really, we go back to Hebrews 11. You know, we read the passage in Genesis, and you can go back and read all of that about Abraham. But we see it show up in Hebrews chapter 11 in a big way. And I wanted to read, I know in your bulletin it says we're going to read selected passages from chapter 11. We're not. We're going to read 1 through 20. We're just about going to read the whole chapter because it's such good stuff. And as I kind of cherry-pick verses, and that's our lectionary passage, but it really doesn't capture really the whole context. And you know I'm about context. So we'll read verses 1 through 20 from Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered himself faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have the opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He, who had received the promises, was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It's through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. Would you join me in prayer? Gracious Father, we read this story and we read about the lives of those who've gone before us and their faith. And Father, it challenges us. Father, it puzzles us at some level too. We pray that you would open our hearts and our minds now as we delve into your word and see what it has for us today. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. The hymn I ask you to turn to is one called Faith of Our Fathers. It is a hymn that was written in the mid-1800s by a gentleman named Frederick Faber, or is that Friedrich? Did we answer that question, Mary? Frederick? Okay, I know. So I thought maybe somebody lived in the 1800s should be Friedrich. I don't know. But anyway, he wrote this hymn called Faith of Our Fathers, and it includes a phrase. Look at the end of all three verses. What is that phrase there? We will be true. Have you ever really taken that in when you're singing that song? We will be true to thee till death. That's a pretty nervy promise, isn't it? I mean, it really is. Think about the implications of what you're saying. And yet, it is faith in, without our ability for this to be true, if we are not true to God until death, where would our religious convictions be? Where would our relationship with God be if we weren't willing to be true to him till death? It's a hard question. It's faith in the God that is revealed in Jesus Christ and God's faith in God's people that makes this whole covenant, that makes this whole divine-human relationship possible. This is what the writer of Hebrews is addressing, okay? That's what he's addressing when he writes, by faith our ancestors received approval. I think the NIV says the ancients. By faith our ancestors received approval. Faith is that cord that binds us to God and God to us. In the verses prior to this, in chapter 10 of Hebrews, the writer kind of has a pickup note. He kind of gives warning where he's going in chapter 11. He says in verse 39 of chapter 10, but we are not among those who shrink back and so are lost, but among those who have faith and so are saved. We're not a part of those who shrink back and are lost. We're a part of those who have faith. We're a part of those who are saved. And then he goes on to explain what faith truly is. Chapter 11 follows up and turns to this theme of faith, or perhaps even better, faithfulness. It's describing faithfulness. Our writer really does not define faith as he does describe it. I've heard people say, what's the definition of faith? And they'll quote Hebrews 11:1. And that's fine, that's all good. But I think it's really, if you take the chapter in whole context, he's trying to describe for us what it looks like, what it acts like. And he fastens the word faith to assurance and hope. And I believe rightly so. Because faith is not a standalone term. I don't believe it is. Faith joins itself to an object about which we as human beings believe or trust or obey. People possess the confidence that faith gives, and they demonstrate obedience to it. And for the writer of Hebrews, God alone is both the object and the terminal point of faith. Let me say that again. For the writer of Hebrews, God alone is the object of our faith. God alone is the terminal point of our faith. One way to put it is that in God and with God, things are never just as they appear. In fact, faith is so vital to our human life and our human experience that our forebears, for those that went before us, they obtained divine approval. Read about it. Go back into Genesis and read these stories that Hebrews references. It's remarkable, the faith that was exhibited. Verse 3 in chapter 11 indicates that faith is the way that believers understand and even know God. The argument is we can't even know God without faith. And he tells us by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God. The worlds were prepared by the Word of God. And as I hear that passage, my mind goes back to Genesis 1, where Scripture tells us that God created out of nothing. God created out of nothing. He created everything that we see around us. Go outside on a sunny day, not one that's, you know, heat index of 130, but go outside on a sunny day, perhaps Thursday or Friday of this week will be beautiful, and just admire the beauty of creation. And think how God created that out of nothing. That's the image that this conjures up for me. The other image, when it talks about the Word of God, I go to John 1:1. In the beginning was, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Out of creation, God began to reveal himself. Through his Son, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He revealed himself. But think about the ancients. That was before the revelation of Jesus Christ. Yet they were saved by their faith. Perchance, however, the most important figure in chapter 11 is Abraham. There's more verses devoted to him and to his wife, Sarah. So we observe these people as exemplars of faith, and they provide a pretty good focal point for chapter 11. And when our writer begins introducing Abraham, the first thing that's written about Abraham is by faith. Abraham obeyed. By faith, he obeyed. And then begins to chronicle the life, the examples of obedience that are there in chapter 11. We know the Apostle Paul holds up Abraham as an exemplar of faith as well. In Romans chapter 4, verse 13, Paul says, "For the promise that he being Abraham, for the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith." The righteousness of faith. Abraham, noted in Hebrews, abundantly demonstrates what it means to act in good faith. By faith, Abraham stayed for a time in the land that he had been promised. By faith, Abraham received power of procreation, having an heir, having a son. By faith, it says, when he was put to the test, he offered up Isaac. I don't get that part. I'll be honest with you. You know, every pastor, as they're reading through their sermon and writing and looking at Scripture, you come across certain verses and you go, God, I don't know if I could do that. And that's one of those verses. Offering up your own child. At moments of humanity, I say, I really don't think I could do that. I would gladly give my life in a heartbeat without hesitation for either one of my children. I could not. But yet Abraham, even knowing that God had promised through your son, I mean, you're going to have more offspring than there are stars in the sky. But yet, he turned around and said, sacrifice. And Abraham was willing. I don't get that. I wish my faith was that strong. His faith guided him into obedience. Abraham's faith extended so far as even to believe by faith, according to verse 19, the way he reasoned it is, if God has commanded me to take the life of my son, he must be able to raise him from the dead. What a beautiful conclusion. By faith, he believed and was obedient. The phrase "by faith" occurs 24 times in this chapter alone. And we read most of the chapter. 24 times, by faith, by faith. The writer is propelling his main point, and that is those whom God looks upon with favor act in obedience, and we act by faith. So consider Father Abraham's story. And as you do that, the issue of faith has to appear. Abraham invokes this image of someone who just completely trusted God. That's why Hebrews uses Abraham as the centerpiece for chapter 11. But my question is, how did he have that kind of faith to believe what Yahweh would do? Some will say, well, you know, he had his church family to lean on. He had good people around him. They worshiped together. They did this. They do the other. So it's a natural out. No, they didn't have church. Didn't have church. You go, well, Raymond, he probably read his Bible. He read God's word. And so he saw where God had been faithful in the past. So therefore, it was easy transition for him. No. Bible hadn't been written yet. Hopefully those are things that we lean upon to be faithful. The church family. God's word. But what about Abraham? Despite his lack of previous relationship with Yahweh at all, according to what we read here, there may be more than what we have to read here, but as I read it, no previous relationship with Yahweh, but yet when God asked him to do something, he did it. His response is actually pretty amazing. The Abraham story begins like this in Genesis chapter 12. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country." And he did it. He's 75 years old, as one point in chapter 11, I don't know if you caught that, and basically said, and just about dead. That's what he said. That's what he was saying. At 75 years of age, the Lord tells him, do something. And he just does it. So was his faith something of heredity, or was it something that was learned, this whole nature versus nurture thing? I don't know. I've heard one person describe this kind of faith as, quote, giving up our need to control the things that we really cannot control anyway. That may be a good description. It may be kind of like when you hand the keys to your teenager and they leave the house by themselves in the car for the first time. It may be like when you drop them off at college and you tell them to remember who they are and whose they are, and you leave them. Relinquishing control of our children or putting them into others' hands requires faith. Daily walk requires faith. Turning loose of the things which we really can't control anyway. Trusting God with it. Whatever his reason, Abraham sensed the authority in God's voice when God told him to go to the land that God would show him. Just head that way, I'll direct you. Step out, I'll show you. Because he surrendered control of his own life and placed it in God's hands, we recognize Abraham as the patriarch of faith. Father Abraham. At a banquet honoring people who made a significant difference in their community, a speaker for the night remarked, "Faith is like electricity. You can't see it, but you can see it when the light comes on. You can't see electricity, but you can see the light." Then she went on to say, "People who help others show the essence of good faith. These generous folk believe that ultimately great good comes from their compassion on others' behalf." As Abraham lived his life by faith, those who counted on Abraham, those who were blessed by Abraham, also lived by faith. They too hoped that God would honor his promises. So faith is not just belief. Faith is complete trust. Jumping off the side of the pool into the water. Something as simple as that. There's an element of trust, complete trust, that what you know about that water is going to remain consistent. When we jump off into Monday morning, we need to completely trust that what we know about God is going to remain consistent. We take every step by faith. What does it look like in the 21st century? I think we've pretty well covered that. Turning loose of the things we can't control anyway. Looking at the lives of those who have gone before us, those that are outlined here in Hebrews 11, those are outlined all the way through God's Word, seeing how they trusted, seeing when they failed and why they failed, and how they were restored and put back on track. Seeing those examples. Jim Purnell and I were talking about Old Testament, New Testament things, and for young believers, sometimes the Old Testament can be somewhat eye-opening. It's some pretty colorful stuff in the Old Testament. But it gives me great hope. Our young people went to camp, and they found out that the story of Samson in its entirety is a little more colorful than the story they learned about Samson in third grade Sunday school. People that God used. Human beings that God used. People who make mistakes, but God restores. How can we live in faith and obedience, completely trusting God and obeying Him by faith? It'll take a lifetime. It'll take a journey to work it out. But God's there for us. Let's pray now and ask for His help. Gracious Father, we don't understand it all. We don't have to. That's why You've given us Your Holy Spirit to walk with us, to guide us, to strengthen us, to encourage us. Father, we thank You for that gift. We thank You for the gift of Your Spirit that, Father, that corrects us when we're going the wrong way, that restores us. Father, we pray that as we trust in You, as we obey Your Word, as we obey what we know about You, not only would our journey be enriched, but that we would be a light to others, that we would be an example for them of who You are and who You can be in their lives. God, we know that we've been saved to serve, and we thank You for that privilege. Father, as we go from this place, we pray that You would challenge us fresh and anew this week to truly live by faith, obedient to You. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning and you don't have that relationship with God, let me tell you, it's through Jesus Christ, His Son, the Word became flesh, that you have an opportunity to have a personal relationship with God. I'll be here at the front. We're going to stand and sing in just a moment, and I'd be glad to speak with you about your relationship with God. I also invite you, if you're a believer, but you've gotten a little bit off track, do some business with God this morning. Take these few moments as you're singing to kind of recommit yourself to who God desires for you to be. If you're here and you're looking for a church home, we'd be glad to talk with you. There are many ways we receive members. I'd be glad to talk with you about that. But whatever your decision is, take this time as we stand and sing together to be honest with God and to make those commitments to Him. Would you stand with me, please? going to ask our interns if you all would come here. You're going to come. You're going to do the singing thing first, then you'll come down. Okay, at the singing thing. All right. After the benediction and the singing thing, the interns are going to be here. I invite you. Encourage one another. Greet our guest. And go out from this place being encouraged. It's a wonderful thing to come together and worship. But as you leave, don't feel burdened. Feel released from your burdens. Be encouraged as you go out for this week. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for this day. Father, we thank you for the hope that we have that wherever you lead, that we're going to seek to go, Father. And with your help, we're going to do that. We pray that that would be reality for us this week as we seek to follow you and to bless your name. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.